everybody. It's John Filipavage, aka Johnny P, with your CWF Road Diaries. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I know we took a week off there. That was like an 11th hour decision because I realized, hey, I don't know how many families are going to want to put up with their husband, their brother, maybe their wife. I don't know. Maybe there's some women listening. If there's some women listening, let me know. But I didn't know what families were going to put up with even a 15-minute wrestling podcast about CWF, as much as I love it. This week on the program, we finish the three-part interview with Joshua Bear. This might be my favorite because Josh talks about the art of shooting ringside and the moments that you can capture that can enhance fan enjoyment through the TV, through YouTube, however you want to watch it. I guess you can watch it on your phone now. Every once in a while I do that, but I'm old school, man. I'm 36 now. The other thing, the major thing before we get to the episode, enough of my banter. I pulled an executive decision. I had a good, close, personal friend. That is code. And I hope I screwed it up because I always screw it up. Who was going to be on the second half of this pod this week? I decided I'm just gonna give it away. He's going to be pushed back next week because his father takes precedent. This man is the mascot of the indies. He is my spirit animal and yours, and he loves CWF. He's been there a lot. He supports it. I'm talking about Papa Hales. Michael Hales is on the second half of this program. I recorded him when I ran down to Nova Pro, a sister promotion of CWF Mid-Atlantic. Let's just get into it. We got Josh, then we got Papa, then I'll be out on the other side. What makes a good ringside, like a two camera, I guess I'll say, a floor camera?
You got the apron cam and you just have that other angle of where you're going, because you got, especially like my guys in a submission or something like that, or they're reaching out there to get that rope, or, you know, they're trying to get that rope break. And I try to get the best angle possible. I try to get down and underneath the rope where I can catch that expression on their face, and I can catch them. Can't really see me on the podcast, but reaching out and you see that aggression or that sympathy on their face. That way the fans get that shot and they can be like, when you're watching on Worldwide, like, man, he's in a lot of pain. You're getting up with him like, yeah, get it, you know, get the rope, you know, just to bring it all to life. For people who can't be in the arena and experience that emotion, experience that power that a match has, the power to make you scream 1 minute and cry the next and yell the other minute, you know, to bring that on the camera, just to, you know, kind of know where the match is going in your head. Like, hey, you know, if I get down there, that would be a really cool angle. You know, he's up in the corner. If I can get this camera like this and, like, get him, see his fist coming down. You know, that's just that whole thing. Like, Trevor, he likes to come in. He likes to put the belt on the top rope. Just one show. I didn't really get the best angle because I had a bigger camera that day. But just get up there and kind of angle that camera where it's got the face of the title and you can see Trevor's expression. And you can just see, you know, him looking and just like hearing, you know, the fans and reacting. The greatest visual I remember seeing is like hour and 45 minute match, Roy and Trevor. He was down the corner, he had his head down the corner, and he was just, you know, getting ready, and you could see the teardrops coming down off his face. Just the emotion with the crowd. I get an emotional thing about it. It's just so powerful. It's such a powerful moment. You know, the crowd's cheering, it's like, Trevor, Trevor, you know, everybody. And he knows it's his shot. It's his time.
Because at that moment, everybody thought he's leaving.
Yeah, everybody
thought I remember a good amount of, not just like fans that just, you know, they don't go online, but like actual, like Bruce Mitchell, who's been on this podcast. They were like, well, they must be doing this because he's done. You know, he's going to TNA or wherever.
Exactly. And
so yeah, that.
His big send-off.
Yes.
And like, you know, I was like, I have to get that camera in there, and I got it right up in his face, and you could see the emotion, and you could see the tears, and it was just, that's what it's all about. That's what it's, being able to capture, bringing that thing through the screen, and be able to tell those people, because you're here live, you can feel it. But, you know, if you're making the people at home, makes people watching it, and even people that was here now watching it on Worldwide, to feel what they couldn't feel there, because they couldn't see the teardrops, or they couldn't see the expression, or the emotion, and it's just having that right mindset and just being able to bring that together with Grant's shots and, you know, get that one full picture, give everybody who doesn't get to sit in the sportatorium front row seat to CWF, you know, bringing it to them since they can't come to us. And it's just about getting that right timing and the right frame of mind. And just, you know, when you get stuff like that, that's why I mark out. And I'm like, you know, that's why I marked it at the end of that match, because it was so powerful in that arena. You know, it was so much emotion, so much power, because he finally won the belt. And, you know, I felt like crying because it was just, such a cool moment. And to be a part of that and be able to like make that happen on, you know, television is really cool. I mean, it's beyond. I mean, I can imagine what it is being in the ring and feeling that, because I know what I felt just on the outside of the ring looking at it. So me being in Trevor Arroyo's position, I couldn't, you know, I know it's so powerful outside the ring. I can imagine what it is inside. And that's what you want to get. You want to get that inside emotion, and you want that fan, be able to have the fans feel it.
I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk to you about the how I met you, really, over this summer. So I shot ringside for the upcoming documentary, which I really need to find time to be able to do,
right.
I keep saying on this podcast, because it's all I want to do. The Boys of Gibsonville, hopefully, will be done at some point. So I was shooting ringside, and you're like, oh, you know, go ahead. And I'm like, no, you're the primary. So little did I know that within 24 hours, you and I would be working together, side by side, coordinating.
Yep.
In some town in Lafayette, Indiana, right?
Yeah.
So can we talk about this story? Like, I'm trying to remember the good beats to it.
It was right after
Absolute Justice.
Yeah, Absolute Justice. We get finished with this monster of a show, an emotional of a show,
and that's Nick and Trevor. For those that don't know, like a massively emotional moment that involved everybody from the crowd banging the side of the ring and standing and listening to Nick at the end of it. It was super emotional.
Super emotional. Nick was emotional. It was a really great moment. Getting from this high.
5 minutes later.
Right.
Like literally 5 minutes.
No time to clean, because I usually stay behind and clean up and everything, because good thing to do, and it's, you know, giving back to the business. But as soon as we get done, we're like rushing, and we like pile was you one two like
me you Kane Brad Grant Jacob.
Yeah, it was like six of us and like jammed up in this car, which I haven't experienced before, because we went to Dallas at 31, and that was like 18 hours with about the same amount of people, and it was just crazy. We had everybody packed up. Like John was in the back,
the backpack
with Kane, and like it's just everybody's like jammed up, and like there's suitcases and there's bags and there's gear, and I'm sitting beside Stutzy, and like nobody can feel their legs at this point, especially like 5 hours in, and just telling like stories and like playing name games.
That's right.
And going through
the scary road. Was that West Virginia?
Going through this like backwoods road in West Virginia that had nothing but trailers and like no light. It just went from highway to like in the sticks.
Nothing.
And we have no idea what.
And it never ended.
Yes.
And Grant played it off like he didn't know. Even though he kept looking down at the GPS, he kept making me think that he did not know where we were.
Nobody, like, we finally get to civilization, like out of this like barren land of just nothing but like woods. And just getting to Indiana in the morning and trying to find a McDonald's.
There is no place to eat. Forget about a McDonald's. There's no place to eat, apparently, in Lafayette. I think we were on the other side of, supposedly it's a college town.
Yeah.
And I think that we were on the wrong, the non-college part of the town, because we finally find a McDonald's, and which was a nice McDonald's.
It was great.
We camped for, what, 3-4 hours?
We got we went to the building to make sure we could find it first. That's then we had to go at least another 15 to 20 minutes to find a Mickey D's, which is ridiculous. And we all got out. Jacob passes out literally in the grass. He puts his neck pillow in the grass, and he's just like sunbathing, because everybody can't feel their legs and we're all tired. I'm trying to take a nap inside the Mickey D's, and like Grant has to get some kind of sleep because he has to drive us home
and produce the show
as
far as on the tech side.
So it's trips like that are like help you like get like, that's how we became friends, and just get to know each other and just telling stories. It's just, that's the stuff I love. Like I love going on road trips, no matter how horrendous and cramped and spacious they are. They are like great times. Like going to Mania, we were sleeping on the floor. Like I slept in between two beds and almost got stepped on, but it was worth it. I mean, it's, you know, that's what I've been taught about this business. It's about getting out and making those trips and like going to God knows where with these great guys. Like you get to go on the road with like Grant and Stutzy and you, and you know, just anybody you can ride with, and like be in the car and like just pick their brains. you know, pick their brain and just like learn more about this business. Well, I was told that, like, when I first got in here, like, anytime you can ride with somebody, you know, it's how you learn. It's how you pick up on the business. It's how you learn things. And I've got to meet so many great people and like become family with these guys, because it is a fraternity. It is a, and I'm not a wrestler, but to be considered part of that family and not be a wrestler is very, I take it very seriously and I take it very to heart, because it's an honor. I mean, it's what these guys do is amazing. I mean, these guys are really great at what they do, and be able to get in there and fly around the ring like that and just not only to fly around, just tell a story, be able to, because not everybody can do it. You know, it's not something that's for everybody. And it's just, it's fun, like, doing stuff like that, going on those road trips and just, you know. I, as a kid, I never thought I would be at a Mania. I never thought I would be doing this, you know, being behind the scenes, refereeing a match with Tommy Dreamer, of all people, or getting to know Ric Flair on a personal, you know, personally, you know, or hanging out with the Hardy Boys. I mean, not everybody does that. That's just, I never saw that, you know, when I was younger, and to be able to do that is just really cool. That's why I try to give back as much as I can to the business by working hard and, like, helping out. And but yeah, the road trips are fun. It's just, you know, if you don't know somebody, get in the car with them for about 8 to 12 to 18 hours. And you'll know them. You know, you'll know a lot. And it's just a lot of sleepless fun. Sleepless, corny joke fun. It's just really cool.
It's very informative. Josh Bear, thank you.
Thank you,
for
man.
For being on the podcast. Appreciate it.
So I am here with the great Papa Hales. I am on the road, I should say. It's Johnny P. It's Papa Hales. We're at Nova Pro, but I'm doing the CWF Road Diaries. It might seem confusing to some, but it's a sister promotion, and anyway, it doesn't matter. The reason I grab you, Papa, is because you are essentially like the mascot, the cheerleader, the spirit animal of indie wrestling at this point. And I do this podcast about CWF. I see you at CWF.
Yep.
I know you from your son and all that, but why are you a big proponent of CWF? Well, you came to the Fan Fest this year.
Well, I'm a big believer in storytelling in wrestling. I think you can have a lot of great matches in a lot of different places, but if you don't tell a story, in a consistent story, it's very difficult for the fans to get invested and follow it. To me, CWF by far is the best TV product on the market. It's the best episodic product for wrestling on the market. And it takes me back more to my days of territory days, Amarillo territory, the Memphis territory, and old Jim Crockett promotion, Smoky Mountain. It has that feel to it. The arena there is actually, looks bigger to me on camera than it actually is in person.
Great.
But the way that it is structured, because of the announcing, because of the production value, it draws everybody into what's going on, whether you're there live or whether you're watching it on TV. Now, I personally prefer to go live. I actually will be there for Battle King.
I will see you there.
I've got the whole Pernodal box reserved.
Whoa.
So I have all 8 of those seats for Battle Cage. So
what is it about that building? You seem to have an affection for that building.
To me, it's the right size. I think if you have a venue that's too big, you lose that intimacy. And that's very important to me. That's one thing I love about independent wrestling. I mean, I can go to a 15,000-seat arena or 18,000-seat arena, and I will. On Monday, I'll be watching Raw in Knoxville. I'll be there with 2 of my boys, and I enjoy it. But you don't have that same connection to what's going on that you get with indie wrestling.
What got you? Like, your son actually got me into CWF. So how did you get into CWF? Was it Dylan?
Dylan's the one that first got me watching involved in CWF. Then they went to CWF Worldwide. But he's hi, how are you?
His young fans are here. It's a little girl riding a tricycle. I am not making this up.
Hi, Papa Hales. but Dylan really got me into a lot of the indie wrestling. because my background is really territory days, and then later, you know, Atlanta wrestling with Gordon Soley, and of course Smoky Mountain, and then he got me into ECW. We made a couple of trips up there, and I know that's near and dear to your heart.
You've got, we were all at the Ag Hall riot. Yeah.
Yes, we were at the same riot together, and just didn't know it.
Yep.
You know, so. I've always been a huge wrestling fan, but Dylan was attending many more wrestling shows than I was for many years because I was teaching and coaching and busy, you know, and not able to go to as many shows as I wanted to. But now I'm going to more shows than he does, so I'm getting back here.
Give me 1 second here. Just want to make sure my recorder is still good. Yep, we're good. I edit these things anyway. Who do you, I know, like, we see you on TV sometimes. You're there with Stutzy. You're managing for that one special thing. You were pulling names out of hats.
Yep.
One for the challenge for the TV title. Who do you, I know I talked to you last year. You're a big proponent of Gunnar Miller getting up here. I just watched Gunnar Miller up here.
Right.
Who do you want to see in CWF? Who are people where you're like, it'd be so amazing to see somebody there?
Gunner's a guy that I think would love him in CWF because he has that prototypical real wrestler image. You saw it tonight. And there's nothing fancy. It's just pure, hard, hitting, solid shots with Gunner. He doesn't do 20 moves. He does about 4, but he does them pretty damn well. And if he pounces on you like he did tonight, it's going to be, I think that the CWF arena would explode if he came off like he did tonight, that one shot on the pounce.
Do you have a second pick other than Gunner? Is there a wild card out there?
Oh, my God.
Something outside of the box?
I love Kurt Stallion. And anytime I see him, he just puts so much effort into it. And he has such a heart for wrestling. And he's kind of the opposite of Gunner as far as body type, because Kurt's kind of a slim guy, but the minute he comes out, you know he means business. And when you watch him in the ring, he's all business. And you get the same feeling from Gunner. You know, when Gunner came out here tonight at Nova, Broly was all business. But I think he really fits the tradition of a lot of those big guys that come out of North Carolina over the years. I think he'd be a hit over at CWF.
And my last question, it might be kind of a duplication of what you said with the first, but maybe not. What do you think CWF does differently or better, or both, that draws you, that makes you want to come up and spend time there?
Well, I think that maybe the thing that I like the best about them is that the stories are coordinated. The stories are coordinated, and it's not just a story of one match or a story of, you know, one feud. It's everything, all the pieces fitting together.
I got a question about editing.
Okay, sounds good.
That's the most important thing to me. And the production value of it, both in person and if you watch it on TV, tremendous production value.
Yeah.
When you go in there and the first time you go in there, you think, wow, this place is not that big, but it seems so huge on TV. And yet when you get in there, the crowd, it's a family atmosphere in a very good way. But I would say just the way all the pieces fit together. Because a lot of times, as I said, you can have maybe a good feud somewhere, or you can have two guys that get into it that have a great match. But with CWF, it's the long haul. It's the picture that's been building. You know, there's feuds and people come back. It's been building for years and years, and that local audience is invested in it. And if people go back and they watch TV and start buying into it, they can be part of that whole panorama of everything that's happened. So.
Papa, thank you for appearing on the podcast. There's a lot of peas there.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Alliteration. I'm all for it.
The indomitable Papa Hales. Thank you, Papa, for doing the show. I appreciate it. Next week, my longtime, close, personal, longtime, bestest of all time, all my life friend,
Doug Getz, a guy I met on the internet. His name's Dylan Hales. He's actually the guy who turned me on to CWF Mid-Atlantic. So over FanFest weekend, I sat down with Dylan and we talked about the state of CWF, the state of wrestling, all things CWF. Listen, if you're gonna listen to the interviews anyway, you might as well follow these people on Twitter. Josh Bear can be found at CWFTJ. Papa Hales can be found at MikeHales9. Poddington Bear does our theme. Thank you, Poddington Bear. Go to poddingtonbear.com. We have two feeds, two wonderful homes that host this podcast. PW Ponderings and Place to Be Nation. Thank you to both of them. Find them online at Twitter and at their websites. Thanks to the whole CWF gang. If you want to follow Brad Stutz, he's the head of creative, the lead announcer, very interesting guy. Follow him at STUTTSY. That's at Stutzy. How about CL Party? Big win the other week. Might as well follow her for fun and old lady quotes. She's at CL Party. That's an easy one. I think she changed her name, though, to something about being an old Christmas lady. And my favorite person to visit down in North Carolina, other than Cecil. I gotta say, I really do enjoy seeing Cecil. Statmark, Grant Sawyer, the head of technical direction and other great things with CWF. The man produces worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. He's at Statmark. And go give Cecil a follow, but I'm not giving him a cheap plug. Go find, it's like an Easter egg hunt. Bounce around between all the CWF people and find Cecil Miller. If you like CWF, I do. You sat through the show, or at least you fast-forwarded the credits, which is just, that's weird of you. But I like you because I'm a weirdo. I'm sitting in my room doing this podcast. So hey, follow CWF on Twitter, at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Look them up on Facebook. They have a whole Facebook page, and they do events and all kinds of cool stuff. You can watch Worldwide every week on YouTube. It's even easier, though. You just go to cwfworldwide.com, takes you right to the YouTube page. Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, a new episode drops, and it's like the easiest thing ever to watch. It's my favorite thing to do on Wednesday night when I'm actually home or I gotta catch up, which is a bummer because we're all live tweeting usually, and if I'm not live tweeting, then I'm gonna get spoiled. So watch it live at 9. Hashtag CWF Worldwide, get in on the conversation. Hey, and if you want tickets and merch to CWF, go to cwftickets.com. That's where you can get all your CWF stuff. Come to Battlecade. I'm going to be at Battlecade. Battlecade is their Super Bowl. It's their WrestleMania. It's all that stuff. It's December 30th. Special bell time, 7 p.m. Just announced, Trevor Lee puts the belt on the line. First blood match against Roy Wilkins. Mecca, still working on that sandwich shop sponsorship. Until then, next week, ladies and gentlemen, see ya.